NATO claims Russia is quietly funding environmental groups in Europe who oppose fracking.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Here's the accusation from the head of NATO that Russia is involved in cloak-and-dagger efforts to keep Europe hooked on its oil and natural gas by giving money to environmental groups who campaign against fracking. Now, this is the controversial technique of extracting fossil fuel that could help Western Europe wean itself from its dependence on Russia for fuel, but which comes at an environmental cost. Sam Jones is defense and security editor at the Financial Times, which has the story today. Mr. Jones, good morning.
Morning.
So take me through this. The head of NATO, Mr. Rasmussen, is doing a presentation in London, and during question and answers, he suggests what?
He suggests that Russian intelligence agents have been funding anti-fracking campaigners in the EU. One of NATO's biggest issues in dealing with Russia is what they call a disinformation campaign, and lots of sort of covert campaigning across Europe, one element of which has been funding anti-fracking campaigns because they believe Moscow wants to keep EU countries dependent on traditional Russian energy supplies.
Just so I'm clear on it, the idea is, if this is really what is going on, is that Russians might be giving money or some other kind of support to environmental groups who may have legitimate environmental concerns about this kind of extraction of oil and gas. But if there is less fracking because of this pressure, the Europeans would still have to rely on Russian oil and gas.
That's right. I mean, there's no suggestion that the environmental groups are actually aware of the money they might be being given is coming from Moscow. There's no evidence that they are complicit, as it were, in this activity. But the suggestion is that this is going on, and it is going on in a number of countries.
Sam Jones at the Financial Times in London. Thank you.
Pleasure.
There were earlier accusations that Russia was helping anti-fracking groups in Bulgaria and Romania. Those groups reject that calling it, and they call it an unfounded conspiracy theory. Now to Detroit and the retirement system that was among the many factors that put Detroit into bankruptcy. In about a week, current city workers will be switched to pensions in which they get stuck with more risk. But that still leaves an elephant in the bankruptcy courtroom, as Kate Davidson reports.
The elephant in the room is one that other pension systems are watching closely. The judge's opinion that pensions people have already earned can be modified in bankruptcy.
Despite the fact that pensions cannot be modified outside of bankruptcy under the Michigan Constitution.
Laura Bartel is a law professor at Wayne State University.
That is the provision that has been the source of all the consternation in the pension community.
And in particular, with California's state pension system, CalPERS. CalPERS is huge. It's got 1.7 million members, and it's an interlocked system, says Ken Klee. He's a bankruptcy lawyer and professor at UCLA. He says CalPERS invests payments from a number of municipalities.
And so when somebody can't pay in their share because they've gone into bankruptcy, it puts a burden on the rest of the pension system.
Remember, not every state even allows municipal bankruptcies, but California has had a bunch of them. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Under law, corporations are supposed to serve the profit interests of their shareholders. Now, that puts some companies in a legal bind when they try to go beyond making money by also setting out to make the world a better place. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has a status report on a growing number of states that allow what are called benefit corporations.
Come January, when companies in Minnesota can officially register as benefit corporations, Sunrise Banks hopes to be one of the first in line.
How would you like your cash back?
20s.
All 20s?
Sunrise is a family-owned bank in the Twin Cities. Its chief executive, David Reiling, says the company has always had a social mission to help some groups get better access to capital.
What that means from a local standpoint is over 60% of our loans are made each year in low and moderate income communities.
Reiling thinks that's consistent with the idea of a benefit or B corporation. The concept involves putting a goal, like improving the community or environment, on equal footing with profit making. Patagonia is one of the best known examples of a benefit corporation. It sells outdoor gear and tries to limit its environmental footprint. David Reiling thinks the designation could boost Sunrise Bank's brand and profitability.
We see it actually increasing and expanding because we're a B corporation.
B corporation status also affords some legal protections. They'd apply less to a firm like Sunrise, where Reiling and his parents are majority owners, and more to publicly held companies. If shareholders sue because social goals overtake profit goals, Management has a defense. The company was set up with a social mission. Critics of benefit corporations still expect plenty of lawsuits.
Because ultimately, there'll be disputes between shareholders and management on the appropriate course, and fabulous for the courts, lousy for the investors.
Charles Elson is a corporate governance expert at the University of Delaware. He says firms that fail to turn a profit could hide behind their social missions, or unethical companies could masquerade as do-gooders.
I think it's one of these things that sounds great, but when it's developed, it creates a lot more problems than solutions.
Right now, it's a problem a growing number of companies are willing to have. 22 states have adopted laws allowing B corporations, and legislation is sitting on the governor's desks in three more. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And former presidential candidate Ron Paul will have his big screen acting debut. Any guesses which movie? Atlas Shrugged, Part 3, based on Ayn Rand's 1957 novel, beloved by libertarians. No, not John Galt. He'll play a TV commentator. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.